Now, for the high risk, we have really gone through a major revolution. I have to tell you that over the last 10 years, this has been really significant. These patients with high-risk disease, in many centers, were treated as acute myelogenous leukemia patients. But I just mentioned that these are patients that are in their 70s and 80s, so they will go and receive high-dose chemotherapy, the mortality rate will be 50%, and probably you could have long-term control of the disease at most in 5 to 10% of the patients after a lot of work. And also, most patients will relapse in the first 12 months of therapy, those that did not die with the chemotherapy. So it actually was a lot of work and suffering for a very small gain. So the impact here has been by the use of these hypomethylating agents. And there are two of them, 5-azacitidine and 5-ASA2'-deoxycitidine or decitabine. Now, these drugs are very powerful agents in MDS, but they work in a very characteristic fashion. They are not rapid inducers of response like we see with the chemotherapy. It may take a few months for them to actually have benefit. But the reality is that the mortality rate in terms of induction is very low. You know, my hands is less than 1%. So it will be rare that a patient will die from induction therapy with any of these compounds. And indeed, most of these patients are treated now in the community outpatient, and they do very well. Now, we knew that the drugs had responses. And depending on how you look at this data, responses can go, depending on the study, from like 15 to 20% to as high as 30 to 40%. But these responses are lower than with high-dose chemo. But one of the major advancements has been, and this paper still is not published, we hope that it will be accepted at some point, with hope it was going to be by the end of last year, but the results of this multi-country, multi-center randomized study of 5-azacitidine in patients with high-risk disease. This was a very nice study. Dr. Fenot from France is the lead author, because I guess he accrued more patients than the rest, but this is very important data. So basically what they did here was to randomize between 5-azacitidine versus a cocktail of alternatives that could include induction therapy, supportive care, low-dose RAC. There's no true consensus before that study in terms of what to do with patients with high-risk disease. So they had to randomize between these modalities. But the bottom line is that very clearly what these investigators found was that the hazard ratio for those patients receiving the intervention, in this case 5-azacitidine, is around 0.58 or something like that. So basically you almost cut in half the chances that your patient is going to die. And that translates, for instance, into doubling of the survival at 2 years. These numbers are really important because, you know, for someone in the mid-70s, to tell them that you're going to take a non-lethal intervention like 5-azacitidine and you're going to double the possibilities that you're going to be alive at 2 years is very substantial. Now, if you look at the other way, basically the survival goes, if I'm recalling right, from 14, 15 months to 25 months. And again, the chances that the patients will be alive at 2 years is around from 25 or so to 50%. But that depends on whether you look at the X or Y axis. But the bottom line is that this is the major step to the first intervention that truly has an impact on the natural history of this disease. Now, we're not talking imatinib data here. We're not talking 100% survival. You know, we're not talking 50 or 60. So yes, I think that 5-azacitidine is the standard of care right now for patients with high-risk disease, but it doesn't mean that we're done. We actually, in my way, using CML type of analogy, we are in the interferon times. You know, interferon was probably one of the first drugs to have an impact on patients with chronic myelogenous leukemia with some long-term survivals, etc. But the reality is that we would like to move these curves to hazard ratios of 0.3 or 0.2. I would like to have survivals that are consistently around 50 to 60%. So we still have to do quite a bit of work in that setting. But this is the first time we have some true positive data.
What kind of tail is on the curve for survival? And do you have any sort of feeling in terms of what fraction, if any, of these patients are actually cured or at least going to have very prolonged survival?
That's a very important question. My impression from my experience, it's unfortunate, but most of these patients are going to relapse. In our studies, we have been using these drugs now for years. What we have seen is that eventually patients lose response, and nobody knows what is the natural history of this phenomenon. We had a presentation at ASH this year presented by Dr. Jabbour, and actually the median survival of patients that had a positive outcome with the decitabine once they lose the response was just a few months. So actually, I think this is one of the most important areas of clinical research in MDS, those patients that lose response to the hypomethylating agent. In my hands, unfortunately, a large majority of these patients eventually lose response. Now, there are outliers, patients that have been on this therapy for years and years, but the reality from the studies that I've done, both with decitabine and with 5-azacitidine, is that most of these patients will eventually lose response. And they do it in two fashions. They do it transforming into AML, but a lot of these patients transform into a lower risk disease, sometimes lower than what they had originally, but a very refractory, very transfusion-dependent type of disease. Now, this happens, in my experience, in many cases, 2 or 3 years after you initiate the therapy. So it's not that they will do this right away. But that's one of the important questions. So my expectation is that we're going to have a population of patients in that situation. And actually, that's my practice nowadays. Patients that have received a year and a half of 5-ASA, then they receive a little bit of lenalidomide, it doesn't work. They try a little bit of the decitabine, it doesn't work either. Because although there's a concept of potential cross-sensitivity, like some patients could be rescued with one or the other, my experience has not been so positive. I don't think that these patients really, after getting 2 years of 5-ASA or decitabine, are going to respond to the reverse agent. So I think that in most patients, that doesn't really work very well. So that's one of the major issues that I was going to try to address a little bit later, but I think that is the most important need. And I will urge the community physicians that are listening to this actually to really consider those patients for clinical trials. I mean, I think that if a patient fails 5-ASA or decitabine in the community, instead of trying to give them the next drug that is available just because we have it, I think those patients should be referred to their local academic centers or to whoever has a clinical trial for that particular situation. That's the most important issue right now.